According to the census, there are more single ladies in New York City than there are men. But what's it like to be a single woman in the Big Apple? Good morning. I'm George Boraki, and this is Cityscape on 90.7 FM and WFUV.org. The TV show Sex and the City went off the air in 2004, leaving millions of women without their fix for the fabulous. But real-life Carrie Bradshaws carry on in New York City every day. We met one of them in Manhattan who shared her experiences as a single. Single in the City, this morning on Cityscape. Glad you're with us.
My name is Tawana Hines, and I'm originally from Illinois, and I've been in New York almost 5 years.
And you are single in the city?
I am definitely single in the city.
With a capital D, I guess, huh?
Definitely. Yeah.
What do you like most about being single in the city?
Oh, that there's so many places to go and things to do, and that New Yorkers, there's so many of us, actually, that it's kind of expected that you'll be single and out there having a good time and stuff like that in the city.
And what are your favorite places to go to as a single woman?
I love going to lounges and bars more so than the large mega clubs. I love bookstores. I absolutely love bookstores and cafes. Go with my laptop and cozy up at a small cafe and talk to the people that are there. It's a lot of fun.
So what places do you avoid at all costs as a single woman?
I don't really go to a lot of singles events. For other people who are looking to not be single, I feel like if it happens, it happens great. You know, I've done online dating and things like that, but I haven't gone to a lot of like five single guys and five single girls and trying to hook us up together. I'm not really necessarily a fan of those so much.
You currently live on the Upper East Side. Is this a good neighborhood to be single?
Upper East Side's quiet is the first thing that I noticed. So not as many people walking around, not as much foot traffic as, say, the West Village, where you see a hot guy and you're like, ooh, look at him. Not so much eye candy dangling around on the streets. So I do miss that.
So what do you do as a single woman? Okay, here we are right now. Yes. On the streets of New York City. You're walking down the street. A guy catches your attention. How do you catch his?
I smile at him. I think that goes back to being originally from the Midwest. A complete side note. But I met this guy in the elevator. You meet guys everywhere in the elevator. And I was like, hey, how are you doing? He's like, fine. And he looks over at me and he says, you're not from New York, are you? I said, why would you say that? He's like, you're way too friendly.
Do you look for a wedding ring?
I haven't in the past, and I've gotten in trouble with that because I've totally been out and a guy's hitting on me and I'm having a great time and I look and I'm like, oh my God, you're wearing a ring. And he jokes, oh, I forgot to take that off. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not really looking for a married man, so I need to get better at looking for at that stuff first, like checking the rings to make sure that they're not there, checking fingers to make sure they're bare.
How much of a problem is that for a single woman in New York, married men?
Oh, if you want to hook up with a married man in New York, there is an abundance of supply. I think I've been hit on by married men in New York more so than anywhere else that I've ever lived. Like, yeah.
Besides the married guys, you're trying to avoid the married guys. What's the dating scene like here?
It's wonderful and it's challenging at the same time. I don't know if that's an easy answer or if that's a complicated one, but it's wonderful because I'm in my 30s, and being in my 30s in, say, small town USA, people would wonder, why isn't she married? What's going on? You know, things like that. Whereas in New York, if you're married by the time you're 22, people are like, country bumpkin, what are you doing married at 22? You know, it's like much more open to being single. So I feel like it's easier to be single here, and there's a lot of different guys, but it's also harder for men and women, I would say, because there's so many people that why settle down with one person when you can date a lot of different people? So it could be hard if you're looking for a relationship. I find it hard.
What's the hardest thing about being single?
The hardest thing is being lonely. Like, I think there are times that I think, oh, you know, it'd be great to, you know, have a partner that I like, you know, partner in crime. You know, we go do our laundry together. Just silly things, you know, that when you're dating or married or whatever, you take for granted, possibly. But just having that partner in crime to be there with me, like, sometimes it does get lonely. And when I do feel that, I remind myself that loneliness isn't being on your own, it's the absence of having your needs met. I've been in relationships where I felt completely alone and lonely and not supported or things like that, and so it's much more about making sure that I get my needs met. So when I do feel kind of on my own in the city or alone, like I think we all do it sometimes, call up a friend that maybe I haven't seen for a while and just say, hey, I really need to just kind of hang out with a friend. Are you free tonight? Most people will say yes. Even if they've got plans, if you say, I just kind of need to be with someone and be with a friend. You want to go to dinner and just talk.
Are most of your friends single?
Most are single, yes. Back home, most are married. Here, most are single. I think that says something great about the single life in New York. Either something great or something horrible. Something great because there's so many of us, or something horrible because we're all single. And maybe we'll stay that way. Who knows?
Aside from the married guy, worst dating experience in New York City?
How much time do we have? I've gone on so many dates. I'm fairly open as far as like age, ethnicity, where they're from, different things like that. So I've gone on a lot of different dates with a lot of different kinds of guys. One guy, I remember, stared at me, and it was so eerie. Like, I was walking to meet him, and I was walking up, and he just like stared. And I was like, okay. I was like, I kind of feel like you're staring at me. He's like, I just want to check you out. And he's like looking me up and down, and I'm like, dude, this is our first date. Calm down. And then just guys that have been into some pretty kinky stuff up front, and it's like, we just met, calm down. I think that'd be my sign, my message to all the men of New York, like, slow it down. There's no need to kind of rush into anything.
I'm not sure what the stats are, but what do you think the statistics are, more single men or more single women?
Actually, National Geographic did a study on this a couple years back, and Time Out New York picked it up. And they were saying, initially, if you look at New York as a whole, there are more single women than there are men. And that's taking in like a very, very wide age range. But once you parse that out by age range, so like very of the oldest to old, they call in sociology, the oldest old, there are many, many, many more women. But if you separate out, say, the 18 to 49, the differences aren't that wide. And so it's not so horrible as I initially thought it was when I looked at the statistics. And I thought, for every one guy that I'm interested in, there's seven other women right behind me, like, going for him. But it's not that bad. But there are more women than men in New York City.
Did you look at that before moving from Illinois?
Quite frankly, I had a good dating life in Illinois and other places that I've lived as well, and I thought it would only be better in New York because I thought, oh, it's progressive and there are other people that are interesting and creative, and if anything, I'll just be plopped right in the middle of a group of wonderful singles. So I thought it'd be easier, and oddly, it was actually harder. So that was pretty difficult to get used to. And I think it's because in other places outside of New York, there's a real sense of marry and move to the suburbs things. Like when you get married, you want to have space, especially if you want to have kids and things like that. And I think because New Yorkers aren't necessarily looking to move out, there's no real need to settle down sooner. And so I think that kind of translates to the dating scene. So if I'm dating in Illinois, the guy who's sitting across the dinner table from me is thinking, is this someone that I could see maybe a future with, you know, even if the future is next week, next month, next year. Whereas New York, it's like, am I enjoying this date?
Do you get a sense that a lot of New Yorkers are single by choice?
I will say yes, because even me, like if I just wanted to date for the sake of dating, there are guys out there, of course, whatever. But if you want to like hold out until you actually find a good match, that you can do, which of course means you'll be single much longer.
You write about this, don't you? On your blog and elsewhere?
Exactly. I have a blog, funkybrownchick.com, and I write about my crazy dating adventures and self-reflections and things like that, and post pictures of myself and things like that. And then I also do freelance writing. I've written for Huffington Post, New York Press, and different magazines and newspapers.
Do you at all have any concerns about growing old single? You're still young. You're in your 30s.
Oh, my goodness. Honestly, yes, I do. Like, I enjoy being single, and I'm quite fine being on my own for right now. If I meet a great guy, great. If not, I'll stay single. I mean, I'm doing okay now. I'll do okay later. But if I fast forward into, like, my 40s and 50s and 60s, do I want to be alone in my 60s? Absolutely not. And then I go back and forth because it's like I can hold out and say I'm looking for the right guy, but at what point do you say, am I being unrealistic? Am I expecting perfection? Am I being too picky? And then so I think what starts then is that tension between not settling just to be with someone, but then also not selling myself short and not going for someone that I feel real chemistry with. So, yeah, I've got a few more years to figure that out, I guess.
Your one point of advice to other single ladies out there?
Stay true to yourself. Like, I think when I was younger, like in my teens and in my 20s, when I was dating, I really tried hard to make sure that, like, if there was a guy I was interested in, that it worked out. And what I've come to realize as I grow older, that it's not so much about making it work out, it's about making sure that I'm okay with whatever it is, if that makes sense.
And any advice for the single guys?
Ooh, single guys, since they have their pick here in the city, let me see, what advice? Be kind, be gentle, tread lightly, I would say. I don't know. I would say, I guess, for guys as well, have fun, and same advice, be true to yourself. Everybody deserves to match up with someone that they truly enjoy and just find delight in their company. Everyone deserves that, whether male or female.
Tawana, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thank you.
Tawana Hines is a writer with her own blog, funkybrownchick.com, and she's living the single life right here in New York City. And she's not alone. Half of all Manhattan residents live alone, according to the latest census data. Sociologist Dr. William Helmreich says he's not surprised, and here's why.
It's part of a national trend. In a large city like ours, which attracts people from all over the country, it's going to be higher than elsewhere. And in fact, it's higher than in, even in the other boroughs in New York City.
What are the selling points of New York City for a single individual?
Numerous. First of all, jobs. There are just more jobs here. If you come from a small town in Nebraska, you know, the Big Apple is going to be attractive to you because not only are there more jobs, but there are more types of jobs for you. In other words, let's say you want to be a screenwriter. You can't be a screenwriter in Topeka, Kansas, or in Denver, Colorado, unless, you know, you're doing everything at home. So that's one factor. If you're working in the business world, if you're working in the financial world, this is obviously the financial capital of the world. In terms of lifestyle, let's say you're gay and you're living in Montana. If you want to pursue a gay lifestyle, meaning the restaurants, the clubs, possibility of meeting other people who are like you, then you're also going to come to the city. Let's say you want anonymity. The city is a place that affords you that, you know, people poking into your business. If you're interested in a more active social life, you're going to come here. So people who are upwardly mobile, who are looking for better opportunities, are more likely to come here.
I would think simply the fact that there are so many singles here, that attracts more singles.
Well, yes. This has a snowball effect. The more singles come here, the more singles will come here. The more singles will come here, the more singles there are going to be. There's no question about it that singles attract more singles.
And it appears in New York City it's acceptable to be single in your late 30s, your 40s even. No one's going to say, why aren't you married yet?
People do not actually say that unless they happen to be someone's parent. But in general, the single lifestyle is acceptable. And because it's acceptable, again, in the same analogy that you drew before about singles attracting more singles, the longer people stay single, the more accepted it becomes, the longer people will stay single. Which is to say, and which raises a very, very interesting question, are people marrying because they feel it's the right thing to do rather than because they feel it's a good idea? Apparently, in our society, in our postmodern society, a lot of people do not feel a need to give in to those kinds of pressures. You also have to consider the fact that the divorce rate keeps going up. And as the divorce rate keeps going up, more and more people question whether or not it's a good idea to get involved. Better to live with someone than you can disengage more easily and more quickly.
I would think that's also then contributing to the single population, the divorce rate here in New York.
Absolutely. By definition, it does.
What would you say are the downsides to being single in New York City?
Loneliness is one downside. Lack of somebody to discuss problems of an intimate nature with, unless that you happen to have somebody who's a very good friend. But the real downside is that you yourself may feel lonely. On the other hand, it's important to understand that there are many people who do not feel as great a need to be with other people. And there are people who've been single their entire lives, even people today in their 60s, by choice.
Yeah, I was going to ask the question, do you see the city as a good place to grow old single?
The city is as good a place to grow old single as a small village somewhere in Cajun country, Louisiana. And what I mean by that is that for people growing old, there are senior citizen centers, there are affinity clubs. You can go to a reading at Barnes & Noble in the evening. You can go to a cafeteria and you can talk to people. I'm writing a book now about New York City and how it's changed in the last 35 years. And the most interesting thing about stereotypes with respect to New York is that the idea that if you walk up to total strangers and start talking to them, they won't talk to you is absolutely false. If you approach a person properly, they'll talk to you even on the subway. You may be sorry you spoke with them, but it is far easier to make friends here simply because there are so many more people. You can make friends in your building. You can join a block association. You see, the interesting thing and a beautiful thing about the city is if you want companionship, you have it. If you want isolation, you have it.
There are more single female households in Manhattan compared to male single. Why do you think that's the case?
This has long been a mysterious question. Given that the birth rate of males and females are about equal, why is it that when you go to a singles party, there are 10 women for every man? Namely, what happened to the men? And if you want to know the truth, I don't know. You know, when you can interview a person on a show, that doesn't mean they know everything. I know sociology, and I know what I'm doing, but I want you to know that we researchers have been asking this question for a long time. Where have all the men gone? Now, in terms of health, men die younger. In terms of health in general, men die more frequently. So that may account to some extent for what's happening, but it can't explain all the variants.
You alluded to this earlier that Manhattan isn't the only place that is seeing an increase in the number of singles. The outer boroughs are also attracting more singles these days. Do you think that's simply a matter of economics, that single people just simply can't afford to live in Manhattan anymore?
Absolutely. When you find people living who are white and single in areas of the Central Bronx, for example, if you find them living in Ridgewood and in Greenpoint, the reason is they've been priced out of the market. Now, they don't want to live there because it's harder to get into the city and because there isn't that much of a nightlife. But again, as with everything else, the more singles move out to Queens and to Brooklyn and to the Bronx, the more of a lifestyle, the more of a nightlife there will be. But there's something else that I would like to emphasize with respect to the single life. The predominance of singles in Manhattan has unintended consequences that we don't often take into account. For example, more people eating out means more money for restaurants, less family-style restaurants, fewer schools, and more bars. All these things are involved in the whole process of how people change their place of residence and what the demographics really mean. And by the way, as that happens, more and more families will move out because there will be less of the social activities that they require in the cities.
I would think then the city is going to lose tax revenue with all of these singles.
That's not entirely clear, because while the city loses certain tax revenues, it gains other things. People with families have unemployed dependents, and so it may be better to have singles. Don't forget, singles, because they don't have dependents, are taxed at the highest rate. So it may not always happen that way.
Or they're getting it back in, as you say, these businesses. So,
yes, but you see, you raise another interesting point. Let's say they're getting it back in these businesses, and they're getting it back in singles. The city will be wealthier. It won't have to provide all the services that it has to provide to these people. So then the question will be, what will the city do with the surplus? And the next question is, will the city continue to encourage singles to come here simply because it's better for it economically? But then again, what kind of a city will we become?
Yeah.
If we are devoid of the number of children that we had before, people are not going to be able to talk anymore about how they grew up in Manhattan, because they won't.
Interesting thought. You know, it really is. I mean, to see where the future may lie in all of this. Professor Helmreich, thank you so much for taking the time.
You're quite welcome.
Dr. William Helmreich is Deputy Chairman of City College's Sociology Department.
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do.
Dining out can be difficult for those without a dining companion. After all, a book doesn't talk back. Well, that's where the Single Gourmet comes in.
Hi, good morning. My name is Art Fisher, and I'm the director of the Single Gourmet, the oldest and perhaps the only still existing dining and travel club for single people in the world.
How long ago did you come up with the idea for the Single Gourmet?
Came up with it in 1981 and started it actually in 1982.
What prompted that idea?
It was the time of Looking for Mr. Goodbar, and the single scene had a really bad aura about it. Danger, drugs, what have you. And it seemed like they needed a civilized way for single people to get together. And I met with a bunch of people, and we discussed what single people want and what they need. A psychiatrist friend of mine told me that his single patients very often did things that they hated just to meet other people. They went skiing when they hated the cold. They went to the gym where they often looked their worst. We decided that we needed something that was civilized, that people would enjoy doing. We narrowed it down to three things that almost everybody enjoys. One is movies and plays. The other is books. And the third is eating. Dining is something you can do in company, and it's worked just marvelously, and we celebrated our 27th anniversary in May of 2009.
Are people sometimes self-conscious to eat alone?
Well, notoriously, if you go out to eat alone, you get the worst table in the house. No restaurant table is built for one. Tables are built for two, for four, for eight, for what have you. So that if you go out to eat alone, you're only using half of the restaurant's potential. Therefore, they're not going to give you the best table in the house. They're going to give you the table nearest the kitchen, the table nearest the men's room. Also, it can be, I think, more intimidating to eat alone than to eat in a group. By the time you get through examining the designs on the wallpaper or eavesdropping on your neighbor's conversation, you really wish that the waiter would bring your food a little faster so that you could get the devil out of there.
Table for one doesn't necessarily have a nice ring to it, does it, Art?
No, not to you and not to the restaurant. As I said, economically, it doesn't afford the restaurant much, and it doesn't give you much in the way of entertainment.
Were you a single guy back then when you founded this organization?
I guess you would call it an unhappy marriage, and the lady I was married to at the time didn't like people. We started the thing together, and she didn't like coming to events, and she didn't like associating with crowds, and so it got to be rather iffy. And but along the way, I have met a very nice lady with whom I've had a monogamous relationship with for like 11 or 12 years, and we enjoy it very, very much.
So that raises a question for me. The Single Gourmet, the single is in quotations. You don't have to be literally single.
No, you do.
You do,
but there's no way for me to really check on it. So I would think that it would be very, very difficult to conceal the fact that you are doing it.
So how does it work? Do you pair individuals up to go out to eat?
No, it's a group thing. We're not matchmakers. We're not looking to get people married off, although we have had many, many marriages. We go out in groups of anywhere from 30 to 50 to the better restaurants in the metropolitan area. But the idea really is to bring people together for a lovely experience, lots of conversation, and it's, as I say, proven very successful. We have half a dozen to a dozen dinners in the metropolitan area every month. We've traveled all around the world. You name the country, we've been there. This year for New Year's, we're going to South America. We're probably the only ones who do three meals a day with wine and lunch and dinner on our trips. So it's a lot of fun. People have good times. And the idea really is to bring together groups of people who can enjoy each other's company while having a good meal.
How would you describe your membership? Is it a diverse group?
It's quite a diverse group. I guess our youngest are in their 30s. Our oldest is probably me. We've had very, very few problems and lots of successes over the years. We had one lady who I don't think talked for the first 6 months that she was a member. Now she's as voluble as anybody, and she's enjoying herself. Hasn't met the man of her dreams yet, but, you know, there's always a chance.
No question, it's easier for some people to sit at a table and start discussion. Other people are a little bit more shy, introverted.
No question about that, but what we try to do is we get to know our people very, very quickly. I've been doing this for so many years that that's not difficult. But I try to get people whom I know are good conversationalists and put them in the center of the table or at either end of the table so that, that there won't be a lull in conversation at any point in the event.
How big is the Single Gourmet? Are you just in New York City or have you branched out?
We have branches in about 15 other cities throughout the country. We've, you know, had tens of thousands of members over the years. By last count, we've had, I think the number is up to 325 marriages over the time, and as I like to say, thousands of fooling arounds.
Did you ever expect that the Single Gourmet would grow in the way that it did when you first started it?
In all truth, absolutely not. I think nobody could have conceived of the success that we've had.
What do you think of the scene for singles in New York City? New York City seems like a pretty good place to be single, huh?
Well, it is, except that, I always look for two things. One, to have fun, but to have it safely, to have it in good company. I can't knock online dating, I can't knock matchmaking, any of those things, but, I tell people, do it carefully. With the Single Gourmet, it's amazing. In all these years, we've never, ever had an untoward incident. One night, we were at a restaurant, and a lady and a gentleman got into a political argument that I was really concerned about. They were almost violent at the table. The next morning, I called the friend of the lady, and I said, gee, did everything turn out all right? And she said, you won't believe it. They went home together.
Are there any ground rules? Do you encourage people not to bring up certain topics at the dinner table?
We really want a safe, friendly, but really fun environment. Nouveau Beaujolais dinners. I always say to people, if you like it nice and quiet, don't come to this, because the Nouveau Beaujolais, for some reason, inspires people to really make noise. As the dinner goes on, the noise crescendo gets louder and louder as people drink more and more. It's a baby wine, so it's almost like drinking grape juice, except that it does have an alcoholic kick. And by the end of the evening, I won't say the people are drunk, but they're really happy.
What do you think it is about the act of dining out that brings people together?
It's very, very difficult to not enjoy yourself when you're sitting down to a nice meal in good company. People come to talk as well as to dine. Single people who live alone really don't have many people to talk to in evenings when they're home alone. They're, couch potatoes. They're reading, they're watching TV. They need the interaction between themselves and other people. And that's what we provide, along with, as I say, a great meal.
All right, Fisher, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I enjoyed it and look forward to seeing you again.
Art Fisher is the founder of the Single Gourmet. You can make your reservation at singlegourmetny.com.
Hold me close and hold me fast. The magic spell you cast. This is love your world.
And that's it for this week's Cityscape. I'm George Boldarkey. Don't forget you can become a fan of Cityscape on Facebook. Just look for WFUV's Cityscape. And you can also follow us, where else, on Twitter. I'm George Boldarkey. My thanks to producer Skylar Srivastava. Have a great weekend.
I'm in a world apart, a world apart.